With a hearty hi-ho, Silver, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The thick crust, deep dish, Chicago-style Medicare podcast. He's making America great again, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Why, thank you, everyone. Thank you, Drew McMillan, for that wonderful introduction. And thank you, adoring audience, for joining us today for the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. This is episode number 60. We're recording it on May 19th of 2020. And you'll probably get to hear it sometime in the middle of June because Randy is working me like a dog here, and we are so far ahead that anything I say today is likely to be completely out of date by the time you get to hear it. But anyway, we're very happy to have you join us today. Thank you for listening in. And I want to say thank you again to Drew McMillan, the announcer who you just heard at the beginning of the episode. He is my nephew, and he is also the host of the Canadian television show Powerboat TV. And you may watch it in the States at powerboattv.com. He is in all of the 2020 episodes. He shares hosting duties with another young guy, and they talk about boats and all the things surrounding boats and the accoutrement that the well-dressed boater should have, including the proper trailer, the proper truck, and so on and so forth. At this point in the show, I always like to define the lazy man because people often think that I'm insulting my audience by calling them lazy. It's very much like the Dummies and the Idiots series of books. That seems a little vaguely insulting to the reader who wants to lay out his hard-earned cash for those books. But for the Medicare for the Lazy Man crowd, and that could include lazy ladies, we have a different need in mind. Basically, we've got people who are approaching Medicare who know they have to learn about Medicare, who know they have to make decisions, and frankly, they're averse to having to put up with all of the silliness that Medicare is comprised of. It's a complicated, burdensome process to figure out what you have to do in order to have the best insurance protection so that you don't have out of control medical bills as you get older and maybe encounter illnesses that you never thought you would have. So that's what we're here for, to help people through that process, help them figure out what the best selections of protection are, help them acquire that protection, and then send them on their way, hopefully to live out long and happy lives without having to worry about Medicare anymore in their lives. So that's what Medicare for the Lazy Man is. These people are too lazy to really care about learning about Medicare, so we do it for them. And when I say we, I'm talking about me plus my broadcast engineer, Randy Carson. Hello, Randy. How are you today?
Mr. J, what's going on up there? I hear you about got burned out of town last night.
Yep, I've got pictures of my wife standing with her head on fire. And if you move to the side a little bit, you see it's a mountain about 2 miles away.
So she looked like she really did have her hair on fire, huh?
Yeah, I know. I didn't plan it that way. It just worked out. So people now are blaming me for her injuries or grievous injuries, and she has to explain, no, it was an optical illusion. But the stupid thing that happened was that, and I thought you guys got a call, but then Margaret told me later you didn't. Every phone in Cave Creek, Arizona rang, and then when the answering devices answered, including at our house, get out of town, quick.
Quick,
there's a fire and your house is going to burn and you're going to die. Get out of town now. Evacuate now. Well, the fire was miles away, and this town is like, How many square miles would it be? Like 20 square miles or more?
Oh, it might be 20 square. I mean, 20 square miles would be 2 miles by 10.
Well, I think it is 10 from the boulders to the 17.
Yeah. So, okay. Let's give it the benefit of the doubt and say it's 30 square miles.
Well, there were about 10 families that had to get out of their houses, but the idiot, power hungry, people who also want us to wear masks everywhere we go, we're the ones screaming on a recorded podcast, evacuate, get out. And I just kind of rolled over and went back to sleep at that point.
Yeah, be sure and put your mask on so that'll filter out the COVID as well as the burning smoke that will scorch your lungs.
Yeah, I think the scorching smoke would kill the virus, don't you?
I'm pretty sure it would. I don't see any way that COVID could coexist with a chunk of forest fire.
Absolutely not. Now, it was kind of cool the next day because this thing was 2 miles away, but airplanes were flying over and they were dropping bright red flame retardant out of a jet airplane that looked like a passenger jet. It might have been a KC-139 tanker. I don't know what those are. They Boeing 737s or something?
They could have had both. I mean, those fire planes, they've used KC-135s. They've used a lot of different ones. It depends on what they're trying to do, dump fire retardant or whether they're trying to dump water.
This was fire retardant. Fire retardant,
okay.
Either that or it was the most polluted water in the world. I don't know.
that red stuff? No, that's normal Cave Creek water, Doug.
Oh, God, we drink that stuff? Holy crap. Yeah,
well, you've got a lot of filters between you and the creek, so.
Yeah, that's true. But, my tooth cleaner in Illinois had been raised in Tucson where I went to college, and she said, you know, you left Tucson just in time for the Central Arizona Project to bring Colorado River water to Tucson before the town had just had groundwater. And the Colorado River water came in, and they mixed them in the water filtration plant, and all of the water mixture went out to all the houses in Tucson. Apparently, every third house sprung leaks in their plumbing, and plumbers were just like, you know, retiring early after a couple of years of working 24/7, 365 to fix all these leaks. They were charging, you know, like holiday rates in the middle of the week, and it was just a nightmare for a long time. Well, it's something about the chemical makeup or the minerals in one part of the water as opposed to the other.
Yeah, well, as you know, the water out here, you got to be a pretty strong-hearted individual to drink it straight up. You can do it after you get used to it. Like, you know, every time you live someplace, you know, there's a little bit of idiosyncrasy about the taste, and you get used to it. Out here, you can even do – I can actually drink it now. I don't. But when I first moved out here, I thought, how can you possibly drink this stuff? It's got gypsum rock melted into it, and it won't hurt you any, but boy, I'll tell you, it doesn't taste good either.
It tends to crud up your fixtures after a few years if you don't have any kind of filter.
Yeah. And, well, the water is so hard, you have to slice it when it comes out of the faucet if you don't have a soft water machine.
If you want to consume it, you got to use a knife and a fork.
That's right. It puts some hair on your chest, and it quenches your thirst for, maybe 3 days.
Well, where I grew up in Illinois, my parents built a house in 1959, took 2 years. One of the reasons for the delay was that the well driller came out, and 200 feet or so is going to be where the water table is, and he hit water 6 months later at 698 feet. And nobody ever explained this to me, and I don't even know if anybody knew much about it, but basically there was an aquifer at 200 feet that had a lot of iron and wasn't that tasty in it. But at 698 feet, there was a different aquifer, never the twain met, and it was the tastiest water. We lived in that house for a bunch of years, 12 years, I think, never had a water softener, never needed one. It was just it was, I think it was probably the Oglala Aquifer coming under the Mississippi, and I don't know, but it was.
I was going to say, it's probably, you know, I'll bet you $10 if I look that up, we'll figure out where the Oglala Aquifer extended to, and it's a very good possibility that it was either that aquifer or one of its subsidiaries.
It was certainly tasty, tasty water, and it tasted best out of a garden hose when I was a kid, so.
You survived the garden hose
drinking?
Isn't
that hard to believe?
Oh,
I never had a helmet. I never had a helmet when I rode my bike, you know. So, hey, I wanted to bring back, you had a hanging chad in one of our previous episodes, and I made a note to myself to ask you for a little more detail or to tell you a story. I can't remember what I was going to do. But you brought up the Tennessee Volunteers. Is it ladies basketball or was it girls basketball or something?
Yes, yes. They're known as the Tennessee Lady Vols because their team is the Tennessee Volunteers. And I happened to come across a YouTube tribute to Pat Summitt.
Oh, okay.
Who was the Lady Vols basketball coach for decades and decades and decades.
That's why you mentioned
it. And she is the winningest college coach in the world, bar none. No college coach has ever won more championships, so forth, and had the most winning seasons as Pat Summitt.
Well, you waxed on about her to that extent last time. We ran out of time, so I wasn't able to draw a parallel. In Vancouver, British Columbia, there was a basketball team. I think it might have been Vancouver. It may have been one province over. There was a professional basketball team that was purchased and brought to Tennessee. I want to say I forget which town in Tennessee, but they had to change their name, and the Tennessee Volunteers sounded familiar. But if you're a basketball fan, what is a pro team in Tennessee that I should know about, or maybe a semi-pro team? You're looking blank. I've seen blank looks on people before, but never won that blank.
Yeah, I'm pulling a total blank when you say out of Tennessee, a pro team. I mean,
an NBA team because we'd hear about them all the time, but this would be, the reason I ask about this is we had a neighbor who was one of these guys who owned a million businesses. He bought all these failing businesses and would fire everybody connected with them and change their whole modus operandi and turn them around. So he wound up owning 10 to 30 businesses that he apparently turned into money makers. And so as one of his investments, he went out and bought a basketball team in Canada and moved it to the States. I don't know why he picked it in Tennessee Tennessee to locate it since he lived in Illinois, but I thought maybe there would have been some relationship or that you would have known. You seem to be a Tennessee basketball aficionado, and so I thought maybe you would have heard of this. And of course, I don't know who they are. I'll have to Google that, and someday I'll bring it up again if I can muster any interest in it at all. Oh, you forgot to turn your volume on. He's sharing important information with me, but
I am.
Can't
hear me.
Couldn't hear you.
I was looking really quick on the side here to see if there was any pro teams in Tennessee. And let me see here. We can always cut this out. We have to, but pro basketball teams in Tennessee.
I think it might have been Chattanooga.
We don't have any Chattanooga pro teams. They're all they look like they're all semi. In terms of basketball, they look like they're all semi-pro.
This must have been a semi-pro team.
No, it doesn't look like there's any pro teams.
Yeah, in a town like Chattanooga, it's not likely to have an NBA team anyway. So,
I could be wrong, but I just always felt like Tennessee is kind of like my home state of Nebraska. They pay attention to the college teams. We don't have any pro teams in Nebraska. Never did. We once a long time ago, we had a pro, believe it or not, a pro hockey team called the Omaha Knights. That went really well in the middle of,
sure,
the Nebraska, panhandle, never saw a pair of skates or a hockey stick. We had no idea what we were watching for. But I can tell you one quick story that when they had nickel beer night,
okay,
it was one wild night at the Civic Auditorium.
I was going to say, that's always a good marketing trick. Nickel beer night works great in my house, so I'm going to line up for that anytime I have the chance. Well, listen, I wanted to get to our subject of Medicare today because I'm pretty darned excited about it. Now, as you know, I've known you for about 3 years. I think it was 2017 when we made our acquaintance. I had an idea prior to that. I think it might have been almost a year prior to that. It was May of 2016 when I came up with this idea. I woke up with it early in the morning, May 11th, as I recall. And my thought was, instead of people having to deal with insurance dopes face-to-face to buy the best coverage for their Medicare years, why can't they just go to a black box and through the slot in the top of the box, put in the information like their name and their Medicare number, and then crank the big crank on the side of the box. And when the slot is filled with their policy, their insurance policy, they can just pick it up and go on their merry way. And I can be the creator of that black box. Now, I would put it on the internet so, in fact, they could dodge the insurance dopes by coming to my website on the internet, purchase the insurance that they want or need, and then they can go on their way and they never have to put up with a dopey insurance guy. So when I had this idea, I thought, Doug, you're a damn genius. This will take no time to get rolling. Well, here we are just about 4 years later. And I met the man and the man's wife and the crack team of programmers who helped me launch my idea into reality 3 years ago. And we're finally perfecting certain elements of my black box so that we can sell Medicare supplement insurance on our website. And I couldn't be more excited about it. Right now, we've got it just in a few states, but if you come to our website and you know that you need Medicare supplement insurance because you've been listening to this podcast, you've read my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020, that explains why you're likely to want a Medicare supplement plan and you're likely not to want a Medicare Advantage plan, then the Medicare supplement plans are the same almost everywhere in the United States. There are only three states where there are any differences at all. So when you come to our website, MedicareForTheLazyMan.com, you're going to go down the first page. It tells you all about Medicare, but if you listen to this podcast regularly, you don't need to know all about Medicare. You already know everything you need. You go down towards the bottom. There's a map of the United States. And if you live in Arizona, you may click on the state of Arizona, and it will turn green, and it will take you to a page that allows you to find out exactly what our selected company will provide you for and what it would cost you to purchase your Medicare supplement from the company we have chosen to do business with in Arizona. Now, that company is Mutual of Omaha, and I have tried and failed to find companies that I thought would be this good. And until recently, I was wondering what I was going to do for the good people of Arizona. But now I know Mutual of Omaha is as good as they come. It's got a lengthy history. It was founded in 1909, ironically, by a medical student at Creighton University. Randy may have dated girls from Creighton University. He's never told me he actually went there, but anyway, so this guy back in 1909 founded an insurance company. It's very rare that medical doctors and insurance type get along together, but he somehow figured out how to turn his medical expertise into insurance expertise. So you, as a Medicare participant or soon-to-be Medicare participant, probably remember as a little kid, Mutual of Omaha sponsored Wild Kingdom, with Marlon Perkins and this Jim Fowler guy. And I used to see sketches on maybe Saturday Night Live where Marlon would order Jim Fowler to go wrestle an alligator. And he was always endangering his sidekick, but the guy was back for more the next week. So apparently they paid him quite enough to do that. Mutual of Omaha actually was one of the first companies to provide supplementary coverage for people enrolled in Medicare starting in 1966. So they have a long history of Medicare coverages, and they're at the forefront. I've compared their rates. They're quite reasonable. And the rate stability, I believe, is there also. It's a huge company. They have 5,000 employees, a whole bunch of subsidiaries that perform different things. But more importantly, the company holds an A-plus rating from AM Best & Company. Now, that's pretty rare for a company that sells health insurance. A-plus is tough to get. You have to be an investment company with almost no risk on the books to qualify to get an A-plus. Most health insurance companies are A-rated, not A-plus. Mutual of Omaha, A-plus. So anyway, let's suppose that you're age 65. You're going to be 65 this year, and you come to MedicareForTheLazyMan.com because you have to buy a supplement plan because you know you're going on Medicare. And let's say you're planning to make this coverage all begin on June 1st. So you come to our website and you say, what would it cost me since I'm not allowed by my youthful age of 65, I'm not allowed to have Plan F. Only older people can have Plan F. So what would it cost me for Plan G, the most comprehensive plan available to me? Well, let's see. Are you a non-smoking male, age 65? If so, your monthly premium for Plan G, and this pays everything, almost everything, $142.87 a month. And that's pretty darn reasonable. Now, if you're a non-smoking woman, age 65, a Plan G for you would cost $129.96, about $130. So you're going to be about $12 a month cheaper than the male rate would be. Now, let's suppose that you've listened to me and you've heard my message that for most healthy people that aren't terribly afraid of taking on a little bit of risk, high deductible Plan G is the way you want to go. It has a big deductible, but it's not up front. Medicare will pay 80% of your costs and you pay 20%, except that until the deductible is satisfied, you got to write the checks for that 20%. And then after, if you've had a really bad year, like $12,000 of medical expenses, then you will hit the deductible and the insurance plan will pay everything for you for the rest of the year. And then that all starts over the following year. So what would be the monthly cost for a high deductible Plan G? If you're that non-smoking male we talked about, your monthly premium would be $50.44. That's quite a difference from the $142.87 that you would be paying for the very comprehensive Plan G. This is why I recommend a high deductible for those people that are pretty healthy and that are not risk averse. Now, let's say that you're that non-smoking woman, age 65. Your monthly premium for a high deductible Plan G would be just under $46 a month, as opposed to the $130 that you'd be paying for the full-blown Plan G. So if you like the security blanket, go for the full-blown Plan G and pay the extra money. If you want to roll the dice a little bit and have limited downside risk but save money every month, then go for the high deductible plan. And the same ratio of savings would occur for those people who are older. Maybe they've worked for another 5 years or so and they're ready to retire. They have the choice of Plan F or Plan G. I could sit here and read numbers to you all day, but what you can do to see the numbers for yourselves based on your age, your sex, and you know, the fact that you live in Arizona, there are two different rating areas, and we will have those separated out. So we'll be asking you what your zip code is, and the appropriate rates will appear like magic for you, and you can go to our website to find out what your Mutual of Omaha Medicare supplement Plan G or high deductible Plan G would cost you every month. And if you enjoy what you see, in other words, if you understand like I do, that these rates are very reasonable, they're not always the cheapest, but they're always right in there, then you would have the opportunity to purchase your own high deductible Plan G or regular Plan G through our website by clicking on Apply Now, which Randy has conveniently placed right next to the monthly premium. And then you can just fill out the form online, download it, print it, sign it, scan it, send it to us, and bang, your purchase of a Medicare supplement is completely done. And it costs you the same, whether I come to your house and stare at you and you try to steal my pen that I give you to sign your name with, or whether we do it electronically and we never contact each other, or if you somewhere in between. The whole point is the cost is the same. There's no additional cost. There's no break for doing it this way. So like I say, we are pleased to be able to introduce what I think is kind of a newfangled, convenient, and cost-effective way to offer you the opportunity to buy an excellent, excellent Medicare supplement from an excellent company in Arizona. And we'll have more on this as the time goes by, because it's going to be, well, it'll be up and running for sure in another week or so. But by the time you listen to this episode, it will have been, I'm hoping the kinks will have all been worked out and it'll be running very smooth. So come to MedicareForTheLazyMan.com if you want to buy your Mutual of Omaha Medicare supplement in Arizona. So Randy, what do you think? You're very close to finishing the creation of my dreamed of black box with the crank on the side.
I am at least as excited as you are, if not a little bit more in some ways. It's always a good feeling as a software engineer to have some idea, a great idea like you developed, be able to be part of building that and see that end up in a usable piece of code that actually provides some functionality that didn't exist before. It's always a very satisfying thing for a programmer. So yeah, I'm at least as excited as you are. And the other thing that I wanted to mention to folks is that Mutual of Omaha, granted I'm from Nebraska, so I might be just a little bit prejudiced for Mutual of Omaha, but this company is, they are the best. I think there's no one that can compete with them. And Doug has really done a great job of picking a good, good, solid company that is stable on rates and will be there tomorrow afternoon and at least into the year 2032.
That's all the longer I plan to live. So, well, I'm hoping that our clients will be very happy with their excellent service and excellent product from Mutual of Omaha. But as we know, the actual product itself does not change from one state to the next, one company to the next, but the kind of service that you get and the dedication to rate stability and customer satisfaction is the difference. So I'm very hopeful that we're going to have a long, happy, and profitable relationship with Mutual of Omaha for our fellow Arizonans. And so I'm very excited to offer this to them. And the fact that they never have to have me come to their house and hang out and bore the heck out of them is just icing on the cake.
Well, I think on that very, very high note and exciting note, we need to thank our listeners, as we always do. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Doug, for conducting this great conversation. And ultimately, we have spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug, but there's a couple other things that I don't want to forget. Definitely go to Amazon, buy yourself several copies of Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020.
They make excellent stocking stuffers if you're getting your Christmas shopping done early.
They do. And Doug, I think he knows this, but I had had several of them, and I gave them away to relatives. So they do make great gifts and great stocking stuffers, because it's a real conversation starter, I guess, for lack of a better term.
I've heard about problems when you give them to relatives that are, say, in their 50s. some of them get a little touchy and they say, what are you giving me this for? You know, who needs Medicare when I'm 52 years old?
Oh, shoot. You're only 52? Oh,
I had no idea.
I had no idea you were only 52.
So be careful with that. But other than that, I get so much positive feedback from readers of the book that it's very gratifying. And so if that continues, if you'd like to give us any kind of feedback, and it doesn't have to be positive feedback, it can be negative. We'll find a way to make lemonade out of lemons. But send us your thoughts at DBJ. Those are my initials. DBJ at Medicare. Oh, excuse me. DBJ at MLMmailbag.com. And you'll hear us opening your mail at some point in the future. So thank you for your efforts, Randy. Without you, I'd be talking into a microphone with a cord just laying on the desk, and there'd be nobody listening. So
he's actually teasing, but you know, on rare occasion that does happen.
It has happened once. We don't need to mention that to anybody.
An empty cord. But I thought I would end out this episode the way most, as a kid, the way most episodes in my memory ended out on Mutual of Omaha, Wild Kingdom. Marlon Perkins would be standing on the riverbank, and we're going to watch Jim while he wrestles the killing anaconda back to the bank.
That guy, he went through more garbage for that show. And frankly, if you held a gun to my head on an average day, I wouldn't know what his name was. I would not remember his name. I met Marlon a bunch of times, though. He would come to town, and the parents would drag the kids out to, let's meet Marlon Perkins, always clean family entertainment.
Well, Marlon, I never did meet Marlon, and I never did meet Jim in person, but my understanding of Marlon was he was a much physically smaller man. And Jim actually was, my wife met Jim, he was a big, big dude.
Probably the inspiration for Jungle Jim,
which
I used to watch all the time.
He was not wrestling the alligator was wrestling him.
Yeah, Marlon walked around, he didn't want to shake hands with anybody, he always had a pen in his hand, because he autographed everything that would just stop for a second. So I had about 10 Marlon Perkins autographs in my possession when I was a kid.
And so if you didn't move fast enough, you'd get several, maybe on your forehead, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He loved to write his name on things. And
I'll bet he did. I'll bet he did.
Well, anyway, I do want to thank you for helping us get this podcast out to the adoring public, and want to have them come visit us again next time.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.